The Middle East war spinning out of control and oil prices doubling in a short period of time, the scary headlines are coming back. And now the new scary headline is stagflation. Yeah. So what's stagflation? Stagflation is when we have got little or no economic growth together with inflation. And that's scaring many investors to sell. So the market has been coming down. Market's down about 5% from its peak. So increasingly, I've been getting questions from students. Could stagflation lead to a recession? Could it lead to a bear market? Should I panic and sell right now? Well, before you panic and sell, let's take a look at recent times when we had the same fear, the same stagflation narrative. So this narrative started actually back in 2022, 16 July. A Bloomberg article said, "What's stagflation and why is it such a worry now?" Right there. And then on the 10th of August 2023, again, stagflation was back in the news. It's not the 1970s, but stagflation is back in the picture. So again, stagflation here, stagflation here. And then April 25th, 2024, fears about stagflation are mounting in the US. It's every central banker's worst nightmare. Freddy Krueger's back. And then on the 1st of April 2025, right there, stagflation sparks new fears for the US economy. So this stagflation narrative is nothing new. They kind of like put it out there every few months. Now, if you take a look at the chart, does this news in any way help us to predict where the stock market will be in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, in the next 12 months? Absolutely not. You can see that the moment they talk about stagflation here, the market rallies immediately. It's got nothing to do with the article, you know. Then here, you know, they say stagflation is appearing. Yep, sure, market goes down for a month or so, and the market rallies all the way back up. It was stagflation over there, the market goes down for maybe about 1 or 2 months, rallies back up. So that's why I keep saying that news headlines by themselves are actually quite meaningless in helping us to make investment decisions. But then again, the next question is, but oil prices historically have led to recessions. Could this spike in oil price indeed lead to a recession? Maybe, maybe not. But let's take a look at the facts. So sure, indeed, oil spikes in the past have led to recessions and bear markets historically, but under three scenarios. Number one, oil had to spike more than 50 to 100% above their average price and stayed there for at least 9 to 12 months. Then the oil price spike was enough to bleed into the real economy to cause a recession. Now, so far, have oil prices gone up more than 50%? Well, it did, but it didn't sustain there. It just stayed there for a few days and came back down. So right now, oil prices are about 45% above their average, and it's been there for about a month. So it's got to stay above 50% for at least 9 to 12 months for it to do real damage to the economy. So we are not there yet. Yeah. Not only did oil prices have to go up and stay high in past recession scenarios, but the economy had to be already weak and the oil price was basically the thing that tipped it over. So currently, is the economy weak in the US? Well, if you read the recent news on Friday, the US economy is growing at a slower pace. The growth is slowing down. In fact, fourth quarter GDP was just revised down to just 0.7%. But you could say that it was a short-term impact because of the US government shutdown last year. Now, the good news is that quarter one GDP this year, based on the Atlanta Fed GDP now, is tracking at 2.7%. So for now, the US economy looks like it's okay for now. Number three, whenever an oil price spike led to recession, there was a third thing that had to happen when it happened, which was the Federal Reserve at the time had to raise interest rates aggressively to kill inflation, and that caused the bear market and recession. So could it happen again now? Again, we don't know. We can't predict. But with Kevin Warsh coming in as a new Fed chair and with Trump as president, I think the odds of a very big spike back up in interest rates is pretty low. For now, I would say that the risk of a recession happening is still pretty low. But what if it does happen? What if we do get another recession? As an investor, how can we use this information to time our exits and our entries in the market? The answer is we cannot. In fact, I'm going to prove to you why economic data, whether it's inflation or interest rates or GDP, is completely useless in timing the market. Let's study the last 20 years. And in the last 20 years, there have been actually two recessions. The first is the Great Financial Crisis, and the second is more recent, the COVID-19 recession. The Great Financial Crisis started in December 2007, but by the time they announced that we are in a recession, it was 12 months later, which was December the 1st, 2028. And the recession ended June 2009. But by the time they said that the recession was over, when the official data was out, it was September 20th, 2010, which was 15 months after it officially ended. So the trouble with all economic data is that it is lagging information. The moment, by the time you get the data, that event has really passed a few months ago. Let's see what this looked like on the charts. So again, the market peaked over here. That was the peak of the market, and that was the bottom of the market. The market dropped about 56%. Now, like I said earlier on, the recession started here in December 2007, but you wouldn't know it because by the time the data came out and they officially announced that we are in a recession, that came in December 2008, which was 12 months later, which means that by the time you read that it's a recession, you are already here. So if you read that it's a recession and you sell your stocks, what's happening? You are actually selling here after the market has already dropped more than 50%. And then the recession ended here, June 2009. But you wouldn't know that. You only know that when they gave the data, when the data came out. By the time the data confirmed that recession is over, the news comes out that recession is over, it was 20th September 2010, which was 15 months after it was actually over. So by the time you read the good news and you bought stocks here, what would have happened? You would have essentially sold near the bottom, and by the time you buy back, you'd have bought back much higher. And that's why reading economic data, whether it's yield curve, interest rates, GDP, it's a horrible timing tool. Now then you may ask, so is there a better timing tool that is more of a leading indicator rather than such a lagging indicator, or at least a coincident indicator? The answer is yes, and I'm gonna show it to you in a short while, but not just yet. So just hold on, and I'm gonna give you another example of the more recent recession that we went through, which was the COVID crash. So let's go to that COVID recession that we went through about 6 years ago. My God, it's already been 6 years. Time flies, right? Okay. So this was the COVID pandemic. And again, the recession started February 2020 right there. But would you know? You wouldn't know, because by the time they announced that we are in a recession, by the time the data came out that GDP had contracted, it was 8 June 2020, which was 4 months after the fact. So by the time you read the news that we're in a recession, GDP has contracted, you would have sold here. Think about it, right? Market was there, market dropped like 50%, went up, you read it's a recession and you have sold it over here. Quite stupid. By the time they tell you the recession had started, the bear market was here and gone. In fact, a lot of people made the mistake of selling there thinking that we were going to go into a protracted depression. Now, when did the recession actually end? The recession actually ended here, April 2020. But again, you wouldn't know that because by the time the data came out that confirmed the recession was over was 15 months later, 19 July 2011. At this time, they tell you that, hey, recession is over. Economy is recovering. And imagine you would, if you bought back when you saw that good news, you'd have ended selling here and buying back even higher. So you can see that every time you read economic news, it always causes you to sell and buy back higher, sell and buy back higher. And that's why in the long run, that totally reduces your performance in the market and you can't beat the S&P 500. Instead of looking at economic data, which is again completely useless, a better way to identify potential downtrends and bear markets and to identify potential bull markets and uptrends is better to look at what we call price action, because price always leads economic data. And this is not something new. I've been teaching this for over 20 years in my Wealth Academy Investing Masterclass. And I actually shared it to the public over 10 years ago. If you have not watched it, go check out this video. This video came out, as you can see, over 10 years ago. And it's where I teach this technique called the 50-150 Simple Moving Average Crossover Technique. And I'm going to review this technique to show you how this can be a better tool to identify bear markets and bull markets. This technique in identifying uptrends and downtrends, you can either use it on the daily time frame, daily candle time frame, or the weekly candle time frame. So if you watch my previous video, I applied it on the daily candle time frame, where I used the 50 and the 150 day simple moving average. So since I'm using weekly candles here, I will use the weekly time frame. So remember, a 50 day is equivalent to a 10 week because 1 week has got 5 trading days, and 150 day moving average is equivalent to a 30 week moving average. So in other words, I can either use this or this. Since I'm looking at weekly candles, I will use a 10 and 30 simple moving average. Let me put the two moving averages into the charts. I already pre-saved it, so there we are, 10 and 30 simple moving average over there. Boom, there we are. So the blue line is the 10 week simple moving average, and the green line is the 30 week simple moving average. So how does this work? Very simple. Whenever the 10 is above the 30, which means whenever the blue line is above the green line, we are in a bull market. We are on an uptrend. But when the blue line crosses below the green line and the two lines slope downwards, they must slope downwards, then we are in a correction, which could potentially lead to a bear market. Not 100%, but potentially lead to a bear market. So let's take a look at how it works over here. Here you can see the blue line is above the green line. So this is clearly a bull market. This is clearly an uptrend. Now over here, the blue line crosses below the green line, right? But this is not a downtrend. This is not a correction. Why? Because although the blue crosses below the green line, but the green line has not sloped down. The green line is still sloping up. So this is not considered a downtrend pattern. But over here, you can see that the blue line, once again, crosses below the green line. And the slope changes. The blue line is sloping down. The green line is sloping down. So this over here is a confirmation of a downtrend, which is a correction that could potentially lead to a bear market. So this could be a signal to sell. This would be a signal to sell out of the market, right? And then the market goes down. Now over here, you can see the blue line crosses back above the green line. But is this an uptrend signal? Is this a bull market signal? No, why? Because the green line is still sloping down. For it to be a new bull market, both lines have to slope up. Remember, the slope is more important than just the crossover. The slope has to follow through the crossover. Now, over here, you can see that the blue line crossed back above the green line. And the blue line is sloping up. The green line is sloping up. So this confirms the new uptrend. This confirms the new bull market. So one could actually buy back into the market over here. So with this technique, this allows you to get out here and buy back at a lower price. So this is more useful than just reading the economic data that is always too late, that's always lagging. But could this have also been used during the dot-com crash, which was a couple of years earlier? Yeah. Let's scroll and let's look at the dot-com crash. So this was the dot-com crash, as you can see. And would this technique have gotten you out a bit earlier? Yeah. So let's take a look, right? So again, notice that over here, the blue line is above the green line. So this is an uptrend. This is a confirmed bull market, right? Now over here, the blue line crossed below the green line, but the green line is sloping up. So no downtrend, no correction. Same thing here, blue line crosses below green line, but green line still sloping up. Over here, this is the difference. Blue line crosses below green line sloping down, green line sloping out. That is a downtrend confirmation. This is a confirmed correction that could lead to a bear market. And indeed, this led to the eventual bear market all the way down. So let's see, where would you have re-entered based on this crossover technique? So you'd have gotten out there, you have sold over there, and market went down. Now, how about here? You can see that the blue line crossed above the green line, right? But the green line is sloping down, so that is not an uptrend signal. Now, and then how about here? Here, blue line crosses above green line again, but again, green line still sloping down, so that is also not an uptrend signal. Now, over here, blue line crosses above green line, but both lines are sloping up. Blue line sloping up, green line sloping up. So this is a confirmed bull market. This is a confirmed new uptrend. So this could be a time to buy back into the markets. So again, get out here, buy back lower, and get in. Get in here to catch the new bull market up, right? Now, so you may say, Adam, this is great, right? With this, I can get out at the start of a bear market, get in at the start of a bull market. So do I use this all the time? The answer is no, I don't use it all the time. Why? Remember, whatever technique you use, there are always pros and cons. So the good thing about this technique is that it gets you out at the start of a protracted bear market and gets you back in only when the bull market starts a few months later. But the trouble is that not every correction leads to a bear market. In fact, I can tell you that 4 out of 5 corrections don't lead to a bear market. So the correction could, the downtrend could last for just a few months and go back up again. And in those scenarios, by getting out of the market using this technique, you probably have to get back into the market at a slightly higher price. And so this causes a lot of whipsaw. And let me give you an example of during this period, right? So if you use this technique, what would have happened? You have said, oh, hey, this is a downtrend. Blue cross below green, green sloping down, blue sloping down, and you would have sold here, right? You have sold here. And then the blue cross back above the green, blue slope up, green slope up, and you would have bought back over here. So this would have caused you to sell here and buy back here. And then you missed out on some of these gains over here. Same thing over here. You can see blue cross below the green line and sloping down. That would have caused you to sell somewhere here. And then a blue crossing back above the green line, sloping up, and you would have bought it back somewhere over here. So again, you sold here and bought back here. So many times, if the downtrend doesn't lead to a bear market, you end up selling here, buying higher, selling here, buying higher, selling here, buying higher. So in the long term, eats into your profits and lowers your long-term returns. So when people ask me, what is better, to just buy and hold through the ups and downs, or to get out, get in, get out, get in, get out, get in, using the trend following technique? Now, from my research, I found that over the long run, over 10, 20, 30 years, the answer is, it doesn't make a difference, really. In other words, if you simply buy and hold through all the bear markets versus jumping out and jumping in, assuming you jump out and jump in at the best timing, the end result is about the same. But the problem with most people, when they try to time the market, they may misread the price action. So they jump out too late or they jump back in too late. And by doing so, they end up with a much worse return than simply buying and holding. So I hope that has been useful to you. So the answer is yes, you can time the market using price action, using technical analysis, but you must know when to use it and when not to use it. It is useful for protracted bear markets, but many times in a bull market, by getting out and getting in during short corrections, it will eat into your returns. For example, if you take a look at the correction last year during Trump's Liberation Day trade war, the market dropped, right? And if you had followed again this technique, you can see the blue cross below the green, green sloping down, it would have caused you to sell here and the blue cross back above the green and end up buying here. So again, selling and buying back higher, and again, missing out on those gains. That is the risk of trying to get out and get back into the markets. If it is not a bear market, you end up paying a higher price. Where are we right now? Right now we are here. So you can see that we are in a small pullback about 5% from the high. So we are not yet even in a correction. A correction is when the market drops at least 10% from the high. That is when the blue line will start to cross below the green line. That has not happened yet. We are still nowhere near a correction or a bear market. So thank you for listening. And as always, subscribe for the next video. If you want to catch my latest videos, click on the subscribe button right now. Click on the bell so you get instant notifications once I upload my latest video. If you want to check out my online courses, go to piranhaprofits.com. We're going to learn how to invest and how to trade the financial markets and create an income from all around the world. If you want to join my live Wealth Academy program, go on to wealthacademyglobal.com and find out more about how you can learn investing and trading live online. This is Adam Khoo, and may the markets be with you.